A song, what a song, I tell you. You know, probably each and every one of us has had to go to the Master, has had to go to Him and cry unto Him because our hearts were broken. Maybe on something we did, or could be something that somebody else did or said or whatever. But you know, when we cry unto the Lord answers the prayers of His people, no matter what. Andrew, I want you to not play the song, that last song, but I want you to bring up the words. And I'm going to tell you where to stop because there's something I want to read on there. Because sometimes we can say the words and maybe not get it all. Go up. No, keep going. Keep going. Yeah, that's it right there. That's it. What's that? He knows it. It says this, and I want you to catch it. It says, because you prayed all night, because you've held on with all your might, child, your cries have awoken the Master. Oh, He knows your voice. Lift your hands. It's time to rejoice. Child, your cries have awoken the Master. Amen. Such a great, great words for us. Child, your cries have awoken the Master. You know, as I said earlier, probably many of us have been broken before the Lord. And that's where He wants us to be, broken before Him. So He can mold and make us into what He desires and wants us to be. As we cry unto Him, I know probably each and every one of us, because of our hearts have been weighed down with certain things, from children to spouses to society to whatever's happening in the world, that our hearts maybe get heavy and we're broken and we don't know what to do at times. You know, Christmas time, we're now in the Christmas holiday spirit of things. After Thanksgiving, you know, but after Thanksgiving initially, after that day, we get into the Christmas time of the season. And it's a time where we know that the holiday spirit of giving and showing love and charity and that's the same, and doing all the good things that we know to do usually come out. You know, we give presents to kids and we give presents to certain family members. We do certain things that are extraordinary than what we may do throughout the other 10 or 11 months, okay? And, you know, there's nothing wrong with doing whatever you want to do for Christmas and all that stuff, but it's a time of celebration unto the King of Kings for our Savior, the Son of our Father, to be born. But it's also a time where probably most suicides happen. Most time where people are so depressed and things happen in their spirit, even with Christians, not just people out there in the world, even Christians. But you see, we have to get to a place where we, because we prayed all night, because we've held on with all our might, child, your cries have awoken the Master. That amazes me. Our cries, remember this. The devil wants you to think that the Master, our Father, is not listening to our prayers. And because of the word that came forth, we know, and because we know with the word of God, that the Father is ever attentive to the ears, that the prayers of His people, and He answers the prayers of His people. As we cry out before Him. Because there's some things I don't understand that goes on in life. And probably you too. There are some things we do not understand. And we have to go to God and cry out to Him and say, Lord, I don't understand, but help me. Help me. Help me. Help me. that we know that Christ is the center of all of our lives, that Christ is working and Christ is moving. Because you see, what the devil wants us to do is stop going to the master. That's what he wants. He wants you to stop praying for your family members. He wants you to stop praying for your church. He wants you to stop praying for your pastors. Just a bar note on that. I have to kind of say something here. We had a Thanksgiving community service Thursday. No, Tuesday. Thursday. Thursday was Thanksgiving. Tuesday at the Baptist church. And man, we had three pastors there. Myself, Troy from the Baptist church, and the Methodist pastor. And we were supposed to only speak about 5 minutes each. But we all spoke a little longer than that. But Ms. Gail was telling me something, and so I have to put it up from her point of view, okay? Because that's what she told me. It's about me, so I have to say it's from her point of view, okay? So she was saying she went to the, because, man, I got up there, and I said, Lord, what do you want to do? Look, and these people from all over, I mean, the three different churches and the other churches, whoever. And so, you know, the power of God was in there. We felt it. You know, just started preaching the gospel, trying to teach people to rely upon him and him only. And Miss Gail was telling me they met a few ladies that were there at the pool hall next door. And they were saying, they were talking about me. So your pastor's being talked about. And they were saying, man, that man can preach the gospel. Man. And well, Miss Gail and them, they didn't know that I was your pastor. Okay, they didn't know. So they just talking, okay? So Miss Gail and them told them, you know, that's my pastor. That's your pastor? Yeah, we have the church right next door. Oh, man. You know, and I think Miss Gail, you invited them to come, or they said they wanted to come, something like that. That she invited them to come. So you never know what's going on. Because you see, I'm going to get to you. You see, it's the power of the Spirit of God as you're preaching the gospel. Let me tell you, not to brag, and I'm sure not trying to do that at all. But I tell you what, when I got up there, I could feel the presence of God. And I said, God, move. And just started to preach the gospel about how to rely upon him. And look, I could sense something changed. The people changed. There was just an excitement, you know, upon their hearts and upon their lives. Yes. Well, amen.
All their lives, I don't think they hear that.
That's the deal. You see, what I gave them was food by the Spirit of the living. That's why Jesus, when he'd go, and this is not even, that's why Jesus, when he'd go, he preached the gospel. He people would enthrone him, thousands. You know why? Because it was the Spirit of the living God, people. Amen. And you can get some other guy out there and nobody goes because it's the Spirit of the living God. But you see, they don't realize they may be ingrained in it, but God's going to break that ingrainment in Jesus' name because we want them here. This church has been established, yes, for the church, but also for the people out there that need to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so that they can be fed and that when they die or Jesus comes, that they can enter in the pearly gates. Amen. That they can walk in. I know we cannot believe that everybody is going to walk through those pearly gates one day. Only those that have accepted Jesus Christ as the Son of the living God and has forsaken everything else. Amen. Don't ever think it's too hard that God can't save their souls and bring them in. You keep them upon your hearts and pray for them. That they will walk through these doors and submit to the things of God. That's right. Amen. That's right. Planted seed of the gospel. The cries, your child, your cries have awoken the master. Oh, he knows your voice. Lift up your hands in time to rejoice. Christ, child, your cries have awoken the master. Now, you know, I watch a documentary. I guess if that's how you want to say it. They were talking about war and stuff. You know, December 7th. Anybody knows what December 7th is? What is that? 1941. What happened? Pearl Harbor. We know we were, as America, we were not in the war at that time, but we were kind of being sucked in little by little. And December 7th, 1941, it says that the Japanese, came and bombed Pearl Harbor. And in the documentary, it's been years now, it said they were doing a filming, and they said that after they did that, the first initial bombing of Pearl Harbor, which was devastating to us, killed I don't know how many men and women in service, that it says that one of the, I don't know if he was a captain in the army of the Japanese, he was just high up in ranking. After this happened, it says that he turned to someone next to him and said, "We have awoken the giant." Or the giant has awoken. Y'all, anybody remembers hearing that?
It says we're awoken
asleep. Good. Thank you for that. We've awoken the sleeping giant. And we know, thank God, because of God's mercy and grace and his power upon our country, we went in and things were taken care of. But he said, we have awoken the sleeping giant. The cries of God's people has awoken, our God and our Savior. And I don't want to say sleeping giant because that's irrespective to our Master. But our cries of our people have awoken our Master. And I know the stories about, you know, when the storm had come and he was sleeping in the bowels of the ship and all this stuff. And they were up there and the boat was going from this way to that way. And they said, "Does he not care about us?" And they went down there and they said, "Jesus, don't you care about us?" But yeah, you have the Master with you. And he was sleeping because he was tired physically. He was just tired. Wakes up and goes up there and calls out to that storm, "Peace." And peace came upon the situation. The storm ceased and everything was okay from that time forward. And people, as we cry out to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, Christ brings peace to our lives. God brings peace to the storms of life. We may think it may overwhelm us. And look, at times, it feels like overwhelming. It does. It does. Things affect us physically. Things affect us mentally. We don't understand things. As a pastor, like I said earlier, I don't understand some things. But when the storms of life come, the Master is awoken, if you want to say that way. He never sleeps. But he's awoken to the cries of his people. To the cries of his people. And he comes and he answers those things that are upon our hearts. And he's saying, don't give up. Don't give up. Fight the good fight of faith. Fight the good fight of faith. That doesn't mean we got out there and we fight with people. Let me tell you something. We don't war against flesh and blood. But we war against principalities and powers in high places. Not above our God. They think they high and mighty, but not above our God. That's who we war against. So we got to cry to our God. We got to call to our God who can bring down those principalities, who can bring down those powers. You see those ladies? They're held on by demon spirits, people. That's demonic spirits. I'm telling you. That grip people. That they're afraid to leave what they've known all their lives. But they know the truth is down the road. Because they felt the truth. They heard the truth. And they know the truth. And it's God that has to break those bondages. It's God that has to break those things in their minds and in their hearts. Because they want it. But they can't do it. And that's where the church of the living God comes in. And we stand upon the altar of our God. And we call unto him. And we say, Lord, break those things. Break those principalities and powers. You've defeated them. On earth, 2,000 years ago, they were defeated before the foundations of the earth. But 2,000 years ago, you defeated them on our behalf. And you've given us the power and the authority to do the will of the Father. Lord, we take that will and we will accomplish it. See, God has a will for you to do. God wants you to preach the gospel. God wants you to win souls for the kingdom. God wants you to encourage people. The scripture says, go into all the world and preach the gospel. People, that's the mandate of the church. He didn't say to build stores. He didn't say to build all kind of stuff. He said to preach the gospel. And people, that's what we have to do. Because Jesus is coming for a church. But tell you, we're living in the last days, and I know it. We feel it. We sense it. God has given us mercy in this last election. Because let me tell you, we don't realize what was at stake. They want to stop the pastors from being able to preach certain things. Let me tell you, you might say, well, that's not true. Yes, it is truth. Yes, it is truth. And let me tell you, the Republican Party is not all innocent, and the Democratic Party is not. Man, when I grew up, if you were a Republican, something was wrong with you. We were all Democrat. What? But back then and what it is now, things have changed. It has changed. And let me tell you, God had mercy. Now, hey, look, is Trump a Christian? Not that I know of. Not that I know of. Is he a heathen? Yes, he is. Probably so. I haven't seen. But God can use a heathen with values to bring about the gospel's sake and to bring about a last great revival upon the world. Not using him, but writing laws and giving us open avenues that the gospel can be preached throughout the world, throughout America, throughout Gaydon, people. There's people in this town. There's people in Vermilion Parish that has never heard the true gospel. They've heard religion. They've heard, look, if you do this and this and this, God may do something. But haven't heard the true gospel of Jesus Christ, how we need to put our faith in Christ and him alone and what he can do. That's why your prayers are so important. People, get up in the morning. Get up in the morning. Get up in the morning and pray and seek the face of God. Ask God to move. Ask God to be with us as your pastors. Ask God to bring people into this place so that we can further the gospel of Jesus Christ like never before. God is moving. All we have to do is be the channels that he can move through. In Matthew, it talks about, and this is what I was, about Paul and Silas. You know, Paul and Silas were great men that loved God with all their heart and soul, mind and strength. It says in Scripture, Matthew, why don't you bring up the first, I think it's 22, 23, the Scripture itself. It might be... because I want to read it. Acts chapter 16, verse 22 to 24. It says, and the multitude rose up together against him. Has anybody rose up against you? And say, oh Lord, too many. That's okay. What you do is you don't rise up against them. You go to the Father and let him take care of those things. And he'll lead you in the right direction. And the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. I mean, they beat Paul and Silas. They stripped him of their clothes up to their waist and they beat them And not just, you know, they slapped a little bit or they hit them on the arm. They literally beat them with everything they had, using all kinds of weapons. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely. Who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang songs unto God, and the prisoners heard them. Now, keep that scripture up there. You can go back to the other one. And we'll read that later. Thank you. Here we see Paul and Silas preaching the gospel, people. Let me tell you, there's a lot of people that don't like the gospel. They can't stand it because it brings light upon the sin of mankind. They don't want you to say it's sin. They want the church to embrace it. But God says we're to separate ourselves. Not that we cast stones at them, we love them, but we cannot accept evil and sin in the world. Even though the world may say it's acceptable to have certain things and do, if it's not acceptable with the word of God, we don't do it. Because the word of God trumps anything upon the earth. They beat them. They took their clothes off to the waist and beat them. They put them in prison. Now, I know in the last part it says, and at midnight Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. They started praying before that, though. And I know as they beat them, as someone that was beaten, I know there's probably tears that were just coming down their face. It hurts to be hurt, you know, physically or spiritually. It hurts to be hurt. But we know this from the song that we sang, that God hears the cries of his people. And even as Paul and Silas were being beaten and then thrown into the innermost part of the jail cell and tortured, as they would sing, tears would come down their face because they were in agony and pain. Yet they still worshiped God. Now, maybe they weren't singing so loud that everybody could hear, but they sang probably muffled voice that they could only give out. Because their cries of their praise and worship to God was awakening the master. And he knew, Paul and Silas knew, that God could do something. That if they perish there, they perish and die. And they would enter heaven or paradise. But if not, God could do something. It's not a weak thing to cry unto God when something happens. It's not a weakness when we look up to God and saying, Father, I don't understand what's going on. But Father, move at will within your people. Father, we come against those things. And Father, we praise you and we honor you. And as we awaken the Master, he starts to move upon the situation. Move upon the situation. The devil will tell you, God's not going to work. God's not going to move. Your God is not even alive. But he's lying to us. He's a liar and the author of lies. God is truth and the author of truth. Who do we believe? The truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ? Or do we believe old Slewfoot? That is a liar. So let me tell you this, even when all you can do is muster up a little bit and saying, Father, move. Lord, help. Lord, do something. And you awaken the Father and he starts to move. Just keep going. just as Paul and Silas were on that floor with their legs spread out wide to cause pain throughout their bodies that were shackled in chains and bondage upon that inner cell, that they still had the liberty, and you need to catch that word, the liberty to praise their God. Even though maybe the jail next to them couldn't hear them at that time, they still uttered the words of songs and praise unto him. Amen. They started out low, but as God started to move and the Spirit of God started to come into that cell, it got louder and louder. And the pain, we don't know. This is just speculation, but let me tell you, they ripped their bodies apart. They hated them. That as they started to worship and praise them, that the Spirit of God came and healed their body. That's the power of our God. Amen. That's the power of our God. Even when we think all things are lost, amen, even when the devil tells you you're going to lose everything, that you won't succeed, you look to God and you say, Father, you are the author of success. I put my faith and trust in you. You alone can make things work. You alone can draw people. You alone can help people as we rely upon you and you alone. And let me tell you, it says that their worship to God got louder and they started worshiping and praising God, and the prisoners heard them. Go to the next verses. And suddenly there was a great earthquake so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. Now, let me stop there. The only thing that was shaken was the foundation of the prison. What kind of earthquake is that? That's an earthquake caused by your father. Hey, amen. That's an earthquake caused by your father. That he can make something happen just at that chair and no other chair. He can make something happen at that prison. Let me tell you, as you cry and you awaken your father, he comes and he makes something happen for you and you alone. Then it affects everybody. It affects everybody. And that earthquake caused by the Holy Spirit, the Father, the King of Kings, shook that prison and the doors were open and all the prisoners could get out. Their chains were taken off. My God! And immediately all the doors were open and everyone's bands were loosed. And the keeper of the prisoner, awakening out of his sleep. Now look at that. It didn't say the keeper of the prison woke up first. It says the earthquake came, the doors were open, the bands were the chains of bondage were broken off. Then the keeper of the prison was awoken out of his sleep. That's God. That's God, people. Can you imagine an earthquake happens and everything happens around about, and the God that's supposed to keep these prisoners, because if they escape, his life is in jeopardy. And he looked and he says, oh my God, after all this happens, we don't know the scenario of time between the doors being opened up, the chains of bondage being taken off, the chains, and the guard waking up. We don't know the times. I mean, we go through the scripture and then we just read it. But let me tell you, I think there was some time that all the prisoners got together somehow. They got them together. And Paul, and we know in the end story that Paul started to preach the gospel to those prisoners. Then that prison guard got up and said, oh my God, what happened? And he's about to commit suicide. And Paul calls out to the man, we're all still here. We're all still here. And that prisoner, that guard comes out to him, and it says that they went and preached the gospel to his family, the guard. And it says the guard took some cloth, I don't know if it was water or whatever, and wiped the body of Paul and Silas to bring healing to him. That's what God can do. When we go to the Father, we don't know what's going to happen, people. We awaken the Master and we rely upon him. And God takes care of those things. What's that, sir?
You imagine the unbelievable things that's going to happen.
Amen. That's right. And we're going to be right in the middle of it.
Hallelujah.
You're going to be, God's going to work through each and every one of you.
Amen.
We're not going to hear it that it's going on in California or New York and those places we want it to happen, but we want it to happen here. We want it to happen in Gaydon, in Kaplan, and Vermilion Parish. We want it to happen in this church, people. We want the power and the presence of God to move. We want to see the impossible be possible. Our God is not dead. Now, if people want to believe God's dead, go somewhere else, you know. But this church, we believe God is dead, and I know you that God is alive, and I know you believe it. I believe. Jesus died for us, but he's not dead. See, I said it's to make you laugh. But Jesus is alive. God the Father is alive. The Holy Spirit is alive. And let me tell you, we don't have to walk around like a limp church. We walk around, well, we've been saved and filled with the Holy Ghost. And the power of God is moving in us. The power of God is opening up doors for us. The presence of God is moving. And where God is moving like never before. Praise God, praise God, and our families are coming in to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. They're calling upon his name. God is saving their souls. They're being filled with the Holy Ghost. Their bodies are being healed. Praise God, praise God, praise God. Hallelujah to the King of Kings, that we can walk out of here and face the week that's before us. And saying, I serve a God that is beckoning from our call. As far as I cry out to him, he's waiting. And he's waiting to move. All he's looking for is a people with faith to believe. As their faith is in Christ and him alone. When Moses was born, you remember Pharaoh? He tried to kill all the little boys. A ploy of the enemy. Abortion is wrong, people. No matter what. You hear this, what if something, abortion's wrong. Abortion's wrong. For 3 months, his mother hid him and took care of him. And you know, babies cry. Babies want to eat. They cry when they hunger. They cry when they do a mess. They cry whenever. They just cry. Yeah, you're right. And after 3 months, I know the Holy Spirit gave her an idea. As she cried unto the Lord, Lord, what am I going to do? And I know many of you have been in a place where you're saying, Lord, what am I going to do? Huh? And God will speak one day. You just keep on seeking him. Seek and you shall find. Knock and the door shall be open. Seek him. And after 3 months, she took him. His sister Miriam and him, they took weaved a basket, put pitch in it, and had it safe. And the mother took that baby, Moses. Tears coming down her face. I know it. There's no way possible. And the father was seeing those tears. He hears the cries of his people. She takes that baby and puts him in that little boat, if you want to say it that way, closes it up, stays in the house. Miriam, his sister, says, I'll take it. Can you imagine as the sister walked out that house with that basket with Moses in it, what the mother was going through? God heard her cry. And sometimes we may not understand it, but God hears our cries, people. And that she takes it, she puts it in the water, pushes it off, and she just walks with it as it drifts further and further away. And I'm sure she was hoping it would stay right next to her so she can ta-ta it, you know. But we don't realize that God was ta-ta-ing it, if you want to say it that way. And in the hands of God, what could God do? And as that little boat drifted away from her, she kept watching it. And all of a sudden, at the exact right time, the baby started crying and crying. And Pharaoh's daughter happened to be outside taking a bath, doing all that stuff. They hear it. They go get it. And when she opens it up, she falls in love with that child. She knew abortion, what they were doing, what her father and all that was doing. She knew that was wrong. And Miriam comes and says, I can find somebody to take care of it for you. And hurries and runs home to get her mother. And her mother was probably maybe in her rocking chair, thinking, because she doesn't know the end of the story, thinking that was the last time I have seen my son. And all of a sudden, her daughter comes running and throws open that door and says, Mom, come see. And tells her what happened. And the mother comes running out of there, runs to Pharaoh's daughter, and they give it to her. That's God, people. As she was running, tears coming down, she's wiping them, saying, I know, God, you are the God that heals people. You are the God that takes care of your people. You are the God that hears the cries of your people. And she takes that baby and nurses that baby. See, God is in control. Not man, not us, not the world, not government. God is in control. God is in control. We got to give it to him and let him work things out. We got to give it to him. As we pray, we awaken him. And I'm not saying he's sleeping. We awaken him with the cries of our hearts. We awaken him with the things that weigh us down. And he takes it and he works it out for our good. Praise God. You may stand, please.